Imagine my mama ain't never had kids. Imagine Obama ain't never win shit. Imagine I didn't have to go visit. My nigga wasn't no fucking prison. Hold on. Imagine I never met Lil Monty. They call O'Keefe where we became homies. Imagine we making them maybe change something. I mean, they all on the same beats. They all with the same dreams. Step on no please, don't get the thing from me. Still doing my best.
Good morning, evening, afternoon, or night, depending on where you are right now. This is AP Radio on WRP. Corey, your producer, speaking, and I hope you're having a great time right now. Today we are going to hear two little episodes, the first being my own, and I talk about Thanksgiving because this episode will air on Thanksgiving, a holiday celebrated by the U.S., not so much by France, but I thought it fitting to talk about it. That will be followed with Jade Fleur, a student at AUP, and her personal recounts of who she is. And I think it's very interesting. I hope you enjoy the show. And two nights in a 38. Make a world revolve around you. Send my love for Randy Davis. Seems to make sense of you for my sister. Still doing my best. And we're going to make sure no stress. I thought I don't got no new man. Nigga, we blessed. I'm going my best. And we're going to make sure no stress. You see, I've been really trying to find a time. Like I lost my watch. Protect me, Lord, oh God. Making up haters in your mind sound like self-hate to me. Imagine everybody loving, that's what you gon' see. Likes don't equal love, today where I reside. Imagine really flying, a magic trick I'm trying. Imagine we'll arrive, sweet as clementines. Imagine I having to just imagine all the time.
Take us something. We wanna take us something. Hello.
We're going to have a mindful episode today. In America, a lot of people are celebrating a holiday called Thanksgiving, a day that has contemporarily been known to give thanks. You stay with your family, you eat a large meal, and maybe you will talk about all that you're grateful for throughout the day with your family. I remember in my past years, my family would do reunions around the states, and it'd be big, 30, 40, 50 people. It was a real time of communion. And I think communion is very important when it gets dark, when it gets cold, as it is in November, for holidays. But just in general, I think coming together and expressing the love that we have for one another is crucial. And I think having Thanksgiving is one way in doing that. So, back to this mindfulness episode. It is going to be a slower one. I don't know if you're listening in from Paris, but if you are, as a person who also lives in the city, it is fast-paced. This is a fast-paced environment. Lots of things all the time, you know? And if this is a way to just disconnect from that fast-pacedness, I hope this could be that for you. This is a mutual thing. This is for me as much as it is for anyone who's listening. So let's get into it. On the theme of Thanksgiving, giving thanks, gratitude, mindfulness, all of that in one. Let's do it. This is Corey G. Delva, and we're here again with the show. If I were to map out the things that I do in a day based off of different categories, it would be a very different day. I could start off by, say, the feelings that I have, and this show is connected to your feelings. It's more than that, though, but if I were to map out my day based off of the different emotions that I experience within the day, I'd go through probably 15, 20 emotions. And it's nuanced, obviously, but that would be my day in emotion. If I were to do it with a series of events that happened in that day, it could very well be another 15, 20 things, just based off of my actions in the day. Not what those actions made me feel, but simply just the actions. If I were to map out my day based off of the sort of sensory perception that I had within that day, so like what I smelt, what I tasted, what I felt, because I guess that's more internal, heard, what I saw, what I smelled, what I tasted. I think I said those things already. That could be a completely different day as well. And I think when it comes to sort of slowed down living, paced out, mapped out living, you can take these different perceptions, different perspectives of a day, and it would change your entire concept of that day. I often, on my way or at the end of a day, I will kind of, I guess, file out what happened in that day in a way that makes sense to me. If there was any like unfinished business, if there was something that I didn't get to process correctly, if there was just something off, I'd hope to go back to it at the end of the day and kind of clear that out in my head at least, so it wasn't just lingering there to bring on to the next day. I think that's really important. One, I'm a big dream advocate, but I think just to have an emptier, clear, more spacious mind, honestly, that's a great tactic in doing that, just kind of reflecting before you go into that unconscious conscious state of sleeping. It really helps with better dreaming. It helps with longer restful sleep, you know, the lot of it. So yeah, I do that, and sometimes it will just be like, over while rationalizing it in my head, I'll be like, oh, you just thought too much about that thing, Corey, or you didn't need to make a big, just the looking back on it, you realize kind of in the moment certain things that were made wrong. I'm sorry I don't have a guest today. I think this would have been a great conversation to kind of piggyback off of, or sort of ping pong sort of conversation. But we're here. And I guess going back to my inquiry earlier about the different types of day one might be able to have, I'd like to ask you what kind of day you want to have. And if you were to do that for the day, this should be airing at night, so perfect time. If you were to map out how your day went in any of these categories, how would you place that day on, say, a spectrum of good and bad? Spectrum of, I would want to have this day again, and this I would not want to experience at all. And why? Because I think part of gratitude, it is Thanksgiving, part of gratitude is reflection and understanding the things around you and the things that have been with you for as long as you could remember that you've kind of taken advantage of. And so in that way, it's big in family, because family has been your everything. They've been there since you were there. And so I think coming back to the root, to family, and kind of reappreciating the things that you might take advantage of, you might have not even considered not having. It's really big today and every day, but I'm glad to know that there's a day for that. And I'm sorry for those who, I guess like me, are in college, continents away from your family, and aren't able to experience that, whether it be a tradition or not, just sort of reappreciating. I just got off a FaceTime call with my sister, my mom, my cousins, and that was sort of my way of doing that this year. But, you know, it's something. It's something every time, guys. So that's just one thing. And this is just a short sort of gratitude check, gratitude spiel. My last point, so the first one was, I guess, just not rate, because rate is in numbers and numbers are pretty arbitrary, but I guess just scale in whatever way that makes sense to you, how your day would be based off of different perspectives of that day. And secondly, back to gratitude, I would like to kind of touch on the topic of grace when it comes to gratitude and their collaboration with one another. So first I would like to define grace, as because it's a big, gratitude is, they're both pretty abstract, what would you say, qualities, abstract moral factors, moral, anyway, I would define grace to be a perpetual forgiveness for oneself. Yeah. And I think that term has to be really, there's sort of subsets to it, because forgiveness, then that has to be defined, I guess. to really, I'm saying this as a asterisk sort of definition only because that doesn't mean do whatever you want to do and after doing that thing, it's just like, oh, I've forgiven myself, so why can't the world forgive me? I've just seen examples of that. Or living life as if it's only your own, but strictly it is just perpetual forgiveness for your shortcomings. And rather, I would say acceptance. I would take out forgiveness and say acceptance because they also go hand in hand. But I think an acceptance of oneself is the steps in progressing in any direction. I think you have to accept something. And I think when it comes to gratitude, if you're so busy on what you don't have or what you not yet at the point of, it's hard to be gracious. It's hard to be grateful for where you have gone and where you have been and who is in your life that helps you and all of those things. So remember grace today and try to incorporate that in the actions you make, the people you talk to, sort of understanding in one another. Because if you accept yourself, it's really easy to accept others. It's really easy to understand that other people have the same shortcomings that you do. Everyone's at different steps in life. Not saying it's never a competition, but we are on different journeys. And I think having grace for one's journey and where they came from versus where they are is important because we don't see the growth without that. So today, I hope you guys eat very well to your heart's content. I hope you are able to spend time with loved ones. And I hope you have a great night and a restful sleep. I will talk to you guys later. This is AUP Radio on WRP. Corey signing out. You are listening to AUP Radio on WRP.
Thank you. Hello. For having me here at the radio show. So I am Jade Fleur, and I'm here at AUP as a student. I'm majoring in International Comparative Politics and Global Communications. And Julia and Javier were nice enough to have me host a show. So today is the introductory show. It's called To Let Go. So we are going to talk about a lot of deep issues. So honestly, brace yourself, guys, because it's going to be really interesting. I'm sure you'll like it. So today I'd like to talk about some issues that are very close to my heart. But before, let me ask you some questions. So has any of you ever felt like your body wasn't yours anymore, that you were not in control? Maybe not in control because you were vulnerable, and maybe vulnerable because of the pressure that had been put on your shoulders, or should I say, on your body. I know probably many of you did, and this feeling is totally normal. It's the sign of anxiety that may be caused by the pressure of your peers or society. And I think this is what we're going to discuss today in this introductory show, like the situations in which we're not in control about our bodies. So I'm going to start with the first example, which is eating disorders. I know it's a deep topic, guys, and probably many of you listening to that show have experienced some sort of eating disorder in your life. And I just want to say that you're not alone. You know, I've been here too. And I think that Princess Diana said some really, really interesting things about eating disorders. She said that eating disorders, whether it be anorexia or bulimia, show how an individual can turn the nourishment of the body into a painful attack on themselves, and that they have at their core a far deeper problem than mere vanity. And that's really something that we tend to overlook, the shame that there is around this this disease, and this we just don't feel good in ourselves. And I know that from early childhood, many had felt like they were expected to be perfect. And the illness that developed became their shameful friend. I've been there too. And I know that by focusing on controlling our bodies, we find a refuge from having to control the more painful issues at the center of our lives. And if I can bring this to myself a little bit, at this point of my life, my weight seemed to be the only thing I could control. And I just want to say that I was never shamed for the way I looked. But I always felt like I had to make myself smaller and quieter. And this is also maybe because I'm a woman, and we're going to talk about gender inequality in a little bit. But one day I decided that it would be a great idea to starve myself for a whole week. And I did, and I ended up in the hospital. So I don't recommend it for you guys. And I did that just because I wanted to control my weight, my body. But I really want you to know something, is that life is too short to weigh your cornflakes or whatever you're eating and to overthink whatever you're eating. And I know that in our society, we want to see the flaws in another person because we want to see the glimpses of our own insecurities reflected in them. But we aren't born with these insecurities. We are told to be insecure. We're conditioned to feel ashamed of certain part of ourselves by the media, by the fashion industry. But what we really have to understand is that it's not our fault. It's really not our fault, and don't feel shame around that. Many people experience that, and you will overcome it. That is for sure. Do you have any question?
No, I just want to actually I have a question. It might be a little bit too personal though.
Uh-huh, tell me.
So feel free to not answer or say maybe next time.
Yeah.
Because you said that you were the weight was the only thing that you could control.
Yeah.
But what age was that?
I was around, I think I was 15, 16.
So high school. So were, you had maybe issues at school, or was going on at that moment?
I think I had definitely some mental health issues.
Okay.
Which is also a very stigmatized topic, which mm-hmm. we're going to talk about a little bit later. But I felt like maybe, things are always going on with your family, your Mm-mm. friends, you feel alone, and there's a pressure in social media, and somehow you want to make yourself better. It always starts like that. You start to do the Chloe Ting workout yeah. on YouTube, the abs workout that are going to magically give you abs, and then you just become obsessed with it, and you're like, oh, I'm counting calories, mm-hmm. I need to cut carbs, I need to cut this. And it's always shame. And even when I was at my lowest mm-hmm. weight, I felt so bad in myself. Even if I had reached my weight goal, mm-hmm. or that I was barely eating every day, always fainting, I felt like it was not enough. You know, I still had to make myself smaller. And I think it's really about that, making yourself like small. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
And did you have like friends or like family that realized what was happening and tried to help you, or did you achieve everything later by yourself?
Honestly, that was more of a solitary journey, I would say, even though my parents were totally aware. I was hiding it really well, telling them that, no, it was normal. I was just challenging myself a little bit.
Okay.
And, I mean, that is just for me. But at this point of my life, I was homeschooled because I was a high-performance athlete.
Okay.
So I had to do school online to follow my sports. And so no one really saw,
mm-hmm.
because I was just hiding it really well.
Okay. What sport?
Horseback riding.
Okay.
Horseback riding. But then I think at some point you realize that really life is not about waving your cornflakes. And
yeah.
I mean, when you starve yourself for like a week and end up in the hospital, you just realize, well, now it's bad. Now you have to do something about it.
Yeah.
You have to reach out to a therapist, just like hotlines about it. You can always get help, and you're never alone. So don't feel like this is a shameful illness, because it's really not. It's really not. We all experience it. Many people go through that, and you're never alone.
And it has been many years now. Maybe
it's been. I think I'm fully recovered since probably last semester.
Okay, and you're still going to the therapy though, right?
I am, yeah.
Okay, I'm happy for you then.
Oh, thank you. No, I am, because now, you know, if I won't have ice cream, I can. So
okay, yes, good. As you should.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Right? Cookie dough is
amazing. Oh my God, cookie dough is the best.
Right?
Yeah.
I know.
Okay.
So after that, as I said, it's a very introductory show, so I'm just going to talk about a few topics that we're gonna see in this show, mm-hmm. maybe, if I get the chance to continue. And my example number two is gender equality, or should I say inequality. And, I mean, a woman has really inspired me to talk about this topic. It's Emma Watson, because, I mean, she's a UN ambassador, and she's really working towards... Obviously, she's a feminist, as we all should be, and she's really inspiring to empower women all around the world. And something she said really stuck with me. She said, "When I was 8, I was confused by being called bossy because I wanted to direct a project at school. When I was 13, I was confused when I was told to stop the pursuit of my sport because my body will appear too muscly." And I really relate to that. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I know that my life is a sheer privilege because my parents didn't love me less because I was born a daughter. And my school didn't limit me because I was a girl. And well, I hope in the future my community will not think that I will go less far in life because I might give birth to a child one day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it happens a lot in the workplace. And I know that not all women have received the same rights that I have,
mm-hmm.
rights that I consider to be human rights. And this is why I think it is very important that the most important thing we should be teaching young girls today is leadership, to take up space.
Okay, yeah.
You don't need to be small. You can achieve anything you want in your life. You're powerful. You really belong here, and you don't need to make yourself smaller. And I think it really relates to eating disorders, taking up space, because you really want to make yourself small, just like in the corner, you know, you're hiding from mm-hmm. everything. But leadership, taking up space, is really important. And I think that therefore it is right that I should be able to make decisions about my own body wherever I live in the world. And for that, I think it is right that women be involved more on my behalf in making the policies and decisions that will affect my life.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is really important.
Yeah, definitely understand. I think we made some progress.
Oh, definitely.
Compared to the past, we made some progress. The like road to reach equality might be still kind of long.
Uh-huh.
perhaps our generation, once we get like in a good point in life when we can actually try and do something, is gonna be perhaps the one that is not gonna reach full equality, but you know, we're gonna get closer. The only thing is that maybe we are, like, what I'm worried about is that at one point we're gonna try and reach another kind of inequality.
Yeah.
You know? So I understand what you're saying. I'm really pro about what you said. Like, go, like, girl power, you know?
No, really. Yeah. There's many, nowadays, there's many platforms that women can use to be leaders. And you should not be afraid to lead when you're standing in a room with, like, 10 men, you're the only girl, and you can be a leader. You know, I do boxing now, and the other day I was in class at my gym, boxing with like 5'35" very muscly-year-old men, and I was like, you know what, I belong here. I can kick this man, you know?
Yeah, that's when you get all the adrenaline at that point. You're exactly. Like, you know, like, you all are, like, watching and see, like, if I can, like, step up, you know?
Exactly.
And
it's very empowering.
Yeah, exactly.
And the prof was like, you go, girl, you're doing well. And I was like, hey.
Yay.
I'm happy about it.
As you should. Oh, I'm so happy for you. I'm impressed.
You should go to boxing with me.
Oh, my God, enjoy.
You know, just punching something, it's great.
Oh, you need that sometimes.
Yeah,
you do.
No, honestly, I do. So I don't punch my roommates. No, I'm kidding. I love you.
Honestly, that is a good idea, though. Like, you still, like, punch you, like, someone, you just, like, go boxing.
Yeah, exactly. And then you do some yoga to be grounded a little bit more.
Yeah, sound like meditation. You're like,
exactly.
Okay, I literally just, like, punch, like a sack for, like, I don't know, an hour. And now I'm just going to meditate to chill.
No, yeah,
and then I'm good to go.
Exactly. And talking about yoga actually makes me think that we can move on to my third example, which is anxiety and depression disorders.
Okay.
Which yoga has helped me a lot with my anxiety.
Sorry, but can I ask you just like one question?
Yes.
I don't know if you can hear it, but like when you go like far.
Okay.
Less. Yes. So like you like the there is perfect. Just not try to go too far because like you can like hear the different.
Okay.
Abia. Maybe just like sorry again from like.
So we were just talking about yoga, right? And I think it's a good introduction to my third topic, which is depression and anxiety disorder.
Okay.
And I just. It's good that we mentioned yoga and we talked about it because it's really something that helped me. It's still helping me actually overcoming anxiety.
Okay.
And once again, just like eating disorders, I think it's a very stigmatized topic because there's like a lot of shame about it. And then you go to the doctors and maybe they prescribe medication to you. And you're like, oh, now I'm taking medication. You know, I need help. And I think we all have this pride in ourselves. Oh, no, I'm strong enough.
Yeah.
I don't need any medication to overcome it. But sometimes you do need help.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want to say that we all hurt sometimes, but we don't need to face it alone.
Yeah.
And you can always reach to organizations, your friends, your parents, if you feel comfortable enough. And there's always room to talk about your issues. So I think it's really important to know that. And what helped me mostly is that anxiety, I don't know if you've ever experienced anxiety, but it's such a physical disorder.
Yeah.
However, everything happens in the brain, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like at some point, your heart is racing.
Yeah.
You feel like you're going to die. You're going to die. I went to the hospitals many times thinking, oh, my heart had a problem.
Yeah.
You know, also, I'm a hypochondriac, so it doesn't help. But you're like sweating, then you feel you can't move and you're stuck and you feel very overwhelmed. For those of you who've never experienced anxiety, honestly, I wouldn't wish that to my worst enemy because it's truly
consuming.
It's very scary. It's honestly very scary. And like once again, what is crazy is that it's all in the brain. You know, it's all chemicals in the brain. I don't know exactly how it works because I'm not a scientist or a doctor. Unfortunately, I really wish. But it's all in the brain. It's very intellectual disorder.
Mm-hmm.
But you feel it in your whole body, and you feel like, oh, I'm doing something wrong in my life, and then it can lead to you not wanting to go out of your house, you know? Okay. Like, I didn't go out of my house for a month because I felt like the outside world was going to eat me, that yeah. I was going to be so overwhelmed by the outside world. And once again, you don't need to face it alone. You can always reach to a therapist, friends, family, even professors. Honestly, I've talked to that with professors in school. And
even yes, at your high school or just like
hey, here? IUP.
Here oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it's pretty recent for me.
Okay.
But it's what's the most important is to talk about it. And, you know, for example, just in the United States, 20 people will have some kind of anxiety disorders throughout, 20% of people will have some kind of an anxiety disorder mm-hmm. throughout their lives.
Yeah.
Which is, like, it's 1/5 of the population. That's a lot yeah, of people, right?
That is a lot.
And also anxiety does not, it does not always look the same. You know, sometimes you yeah. can start shaking mm-hmm. and you faint and you're sweating, but sometimes mm. it's only internal. And
yeah.
You wouldn't know. Maybe people you meet every day in the street are struggling with anxiety, yeah. but they don't show it. So it's really important to recognize every yeah. form of it, you know, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. And I think what's also very interesting to notify is that anxiety kept us safe at some point in our lives, you know,
when, okay, we, had
to,
yeah.
when we were in the wild and we were not modernized, mm-hmm. we had to face, I don't know, tigers mm-hmm. in the jungle. Anxiety was our superpower yeah. and kept us safe. So anxiety is not your enemy. It's not always your enemy. You can control it. There's many ways you can control it. And don't see it as your... You don't have to fight it.
Yeah.
You don't have to fight it. Of course, you fight it every day, but don't feel the pressure to... You know, sometimes I would have anxiety that I will have anxiety later. it's really crazy. And what's... I think my friend Jasmine told me that. Mm-hmm. She told me that anxiety and excitement are actually the same thing.
Yeah.
In terms of brain chemicals.
Okay.
So, for example, Julia, you go on a date. I know you have a boyfriend.
Okay.
But you go on a date. And hi, boyfriend, if you hear that ever.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm sorry for him. Even, like, the other shows, you know, like, it's okay.
Really?
Yeah, okay. No, it's totally fine.
Perfect.
Love you, by the way.
So you're on your way to date, you know?
Yeah.
You go to Le Marais, mm-hmm. very cool arrondissement, with a very nice guy you match with on Bumble because we're modern. Okay? And you feel anxious on the way there, but maybe you're just excited. And
yeah.
that's what you must not forget. Sometimes when I'm walking to school, I feel anxiety just to walk in the street by myself because that's really when my anxiety, like, pops in.
Okay.
And I'm like, no, maybe I'm just excited to see my professors and my
yeah.
friends. You know, I'm like, no, this is excitement. This is not anxiety. And it helps me, you know, it's okay.
Yeah.
You don't need to fear. You don't need to fear.
Yeah.
And also feel fear, do it anyway. That's
yeah.
that's really a good mantra to have.
Honestly, I'm going to save that.
Yeah, no, so
yeah.
It's my lock screen, actually.
Yeah?
And you know Sarah Humphries?
Yeah.
She has the same lock screen
oh my
as
God.
Me. We were like,
that
oh,
is great.
We're tweening. We're empowerment. Hey.
Yes.
You are listening to WRP.
I have, I would say, like, two examples related
yeah.
to anxiety. The first one is, like, chill, and it's more related to the part when you're saying, you know, like, anxiety is not your enemy.
Mm-hmm.
For example... I'm sure that I'm not the only one.
Mm.
Like, at least my dad does the same thing.
And At least my dad does the same thing.
So that's why I'm saying that I'm not the only one. And this is bad on one hand, but, like, also, like, kind of good on the other hand.
It's only the two of us. You're not going to be judged. No one's going
to. Like, exactly. Like, yeah. basically, I use anxiety to get past, you know, like, my tasks for school, like
uh-huh.
papers, or, like, readings, you know, like, we can call it procrastination,
mm-hmm.
which is true. Like, mm-hmm. don't get me wrong. It's not like today my professor is going to assign me, like, a reading and I'm actually going to do it today. Like, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Who does it, right? If some of you do it, like, trust me, I am so...
Congratulations.
Yes, I'm
we
so happy.
You.
Yes, exactly. But, like, for me, I don't do it. And I just, my mind just cannot process what I have to do until it's the last second.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, for example, I was supposed to write a little reflection on
mm-hmm.
the reading for today
mm-hmm.
at 12. I did it this morning at 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. Just because I tried to do it yesterday. But just like my brain was not working.
But I think your example is really good. There's just a very slight difference between feeling anxious about something mm-hmm. and, you know, it unable you to do it. For yeah. example, procrastination, mm-hmm. as you talked about, which is feeling anxious about something and you're like, oh, I'm not ready to do it. And anxiety disorders, which is, you know, it's yeah. there's like a slight difference between the two. Because, of course, I'm going to get anxious mm-hmm. to do a test, to do an assignment. Yeah. Even when I was, you know, in the French team and I was like doing the European Championships yeah. and everything, I was anxious before it was my turn to go in the arena mm-mm. and show my skills. But I think there's definitely a difference between adrenaline and anxiety disorders, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I have another example for an anxiety disorder. I think it's not like yours.
Okay.
But like the background might be a little bit the same. Time. So in high school, mm-hmm. I used to sail. I don't know if you like can imagine it, right? But I was not like, it started for fun when I was like 4 or 5 years old, but uh-huh. then it started getting serious, and like as you mentioned that you went doing the European championship, I was doing the same
oh, wow.
European World Championship, amazing. You know, it was really fun, like the national team, it was amazing, right? The only issue is that I don't know here in France mm-hmm. but at least in Italy, if you do a sport outside of like high school, you're done. Like yeah. you're like absolutely done, and you know, like we barely have the option of doing it online, uh-huh. which is not smart at all. Because, oh, yeah. you know, like, if I'm doing something else and I'm thinking that maybe my career is going to be my sport, you know, then mm-hmm. I need support
absolutely.
From the school, you know. Like, no support at all for me. And not only for me, but also for all my other peers. And so I started having anxiety.
Okay.
Both for when it came to, like, the training part. Which, I mean, like, that was, like, an anxiety, but, like, you know, like, not too much. But then it came, like, the anxiety arrived when it was time to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would have panic attacks every morning, you know, like, lay down on the floor yes. with legs on the wall. And that was really, really bad. Mm-hmm. At one point, I had to, like, I mean, it was not even, like, a break. It was just, like, you know, like, maybe, like, 2 or 3 days off. Just because I couldn't really control anything anymore.
Uh-huh.
You know, school was going down. And it was not even, like, on me at that point. It was just, like, you know, like, I didn't have the support from anybody.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, like, at that point, also, the sport is going down. Because, yeah. like, your mental situation is not stable.
Mental health affects yeah. every aspect of our life.
Exactly.
And that's, okay, if you're listening, that's also a debate that I have internally a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, what career path am I going to choose that's not going to affect my mental health? Because
yeah.
you and I are ICP majors, yeah. we're doing politics, but sometimes I wonder, am I strong enough to like
yeah,
be mentally prepared to face all this crazy world of politics?
Mm-mm.
I don't know if I'm prepared, you know?
I have the same question too. That's why I just want to like, you know, like keep studying a little bit and like get closer to
yeah.
the like final point and then, you know, just like try and see if I can do it. If not, I'm gonna try and have a backup plan. But
yeah, me too.
Yeah,
that's why I'm like double majoring, honestly.
Yeah,
because
yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Just because you know, it's like it's a lot to take. It also depends like how you grew up. You know, like the environment
uh-huh.
that you grew up.
Absolutely.
And also, just like sometimes they're like, it's not like there are some people that can take it and other people that cannot. Just because I think that everybody can do it. But, you know, it just, like, sometimes it's just, like, too much, you
no,
know?
No, it is,
yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly.
And mental health is such an important part of a life.
Yeah.
And you should never, never, like, dismiss it
yeah.
or think it's not important, because it is, and it's really going to affect every part of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you make sure that your mental health is going well, whether it's
yeah.
by hanging out with your friends, doing things that make you happy, or going to see a therapist, spending time with your parents, your loved ones,
mm-hmm.
Or spending time alone,
yeah.
right? Sometimes
oh,
we
yeah,
all need
definitely.
Our alone time.
Yeah, it's hard. At first, at least like for me, at first it was really hard.
To be
to
alone?
Like, yeah, I mean, not hard. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I love to just like, you know, like just watch like a movie in bed alone,
uh-huh.
you know, like easy peasy. But like, you know, Netflix and chill.
Right.
That is really good. Sometimes
we got
you need
to
it.
Chill,
yes.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, still today, like, I want to be surrounded by people just because I really like it. But I would say that, like, it has been just, like, 1 year or maybe, yeah, no, I would say, like, 1 year that now I can finally, like, enjoy my time alone, you know? Mm-hmm. Earlier, I would be, like, alone, but then, like, after, like, 10 minutes, I would be like, no, okay, like, I'm going to see someone, people. You know? Yeah, exactly. But, like, now, company. Yes. But, like, but now
you
I can
enjoy,
do it.
You enjoy your own company.
That's yeah, now so I'm enjoying my own company, you know, and...
And, you know, we're in Paris, we can... The architecture is amazing. Exactly. You can go on walks yes. outside.
Yes.
And just see the sun. We walk by school every day. We see the Tour Eiffel.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
When we're going to tell that to our children, grandchildren, yeah. it's going to be like, oh, like yeah. grandma was living the life.
Uh-huh. I want to be the cool auntie, you know.
Right.
Like, yeah.
The cool rich auntie.
yeah. No, but, you know, it's just like, I don't know why I thought it was so hard. But like now, you know, just like also just to like relax a little bit, you know.
Absolutely.
I always thought that, you know, you had to like be with like someone. To feel good, not like someone like in a relationship. I'm mm-hmm. just saying like, you have to be surrounded by people to like be happy. Yeah. But like that is not true. Just because you know like, if you at one point like at least that was for me at one point I felt pressure mm-hmm. to go out. You know just because I felt that like society was making me go out. You
yeah,
know.
Yeah. But that is you not fear true. That you had FOMO and fear yeah. of missing out.
Yeah. No. Exactly. Yeah. You know. And like don't get me wrong. Like maybe. Like, I still, like, try and go out, like, as much as I can.
Oh,
just
I know,
because
I
love
know
it.
You go out.
Yeah, like, sometimes you see me at your apartment, you know? Like, sometimes I just arrive. Because I really like it. I really enjoy it. The only thing, like, the only difference that I have now is that, you know, like, if I don't go out, it's not like, oh, you know, like, I'm gonna, like, miss out. Like, I'm gonna miss everything out.
Yeah, yeah.
People are gonna think that I'm boring, you know? Mm-hmm. Now, if I don't go out, I'm just thinking, cute, like, I can actually relax yeah. now, you know?
I understand. And also, I think it's important to mention that everyone can suffer from mental health.
Yeah.
Even if you're happy, you have a career,
oh, yeah,
you're married, you have a lover, you have everything you want, you have achieved all of your goals
like
in your life.
Like, the life that society thinks is, like, the perfect one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, for example, I mean, I don't know if many of you follow pageantry, but I do. And okay. I think 10 days ago, about 10 days ago, Miss USA 2019, her name was Chelsea Crist.
Yeah.
She was a lawyer, a journalist, a reporter, an advocate.
Mm-hmm.
She was very influential, especially... and her community, but she ended her life tragically, I think, 10 days ago, in New York. And it's not only a great loss for her family, but also for the entire community. And it was really surprising because, you know, she always was this very bubbly, happy person. She had everything. Society would think she had everything. Yeah. And she still suffered from mental health. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she let a note saying that she was overwhelmed and it was too much for her. She felt like she couldn't speak to anyone about her issues. And I think it's really, I mean, for me, it was really a reminder that you have a role to empower your community.
Oh, yeah.
And you have a role to make people comfortable talking about their issues, and you're always here to listen, and there's always someone to listen to you. Don't ever feel like you're alone because you're not, and there's always going to be a kind soul that's going to be here for you. It's yeah. really it's really important because I'll say it was so surprising.
Mm-mm.
And tragic.
Yeah. I have a fun fact.
Tell me.
Honestly, you can judge.
Okay,
like,
I will
go for it.
I will judge you.
Yeah, like go for it, because I'm judging myself.
Okay.
When I was little, I used to think that, you know, like psychologists or therapists were just for like, I don't want to say crazy people.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, like people that didn't have like their life together.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, like I don't see the point of like going to the psychologist or uh-huh. something like that. And I think that was also, you know, like, at the time, like, therapy was not as common as now.
No, but
you know?
Absolutely.
And also, maybe just, like, even, like, the family that I grew up with, really strong family.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know me. Just imagine, like, me times, like, four, you know?
Yeah.
And just, like, I don't know. We were always, like, on top of everything, you know? I mean, like, we had, like, our, like, mental breakdown.
You had your things together.
Yeah, no, exactly. But, like, we were good to go.
Uh-huh.
But I always thought that, like, you know, like, therapy was not was something so weird that we were like, you know, like, why? Like, we, first of all, we're like, we don't need it, you know?
Yeah.
And second of all, we're just like, we don't even understand the people that go, you know?
Yeah, you think, no, I think it's very, very good that you mentioned it, because I grew up in a different family setting. Yeah. Obviously, I've been going to therapy since I was, like, very little.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely helped me in many ways. And I was very fortunate to have a family that was open to that. Mm. And, but now I understand it. Now that I take medication for anxiety, I'm like, you know, I've had people telling me as a joke, oh, now you are druggy. And I'm like... I'm like, okay, that is funny, but it's also not funny because now I feel bad, you know?
Yeah,
I'm like,
no, I take exactly. Medication. You start thinking that the medication are not, not
like,
good for you.
I'm like, am I weird?
Yeah.
Like, what have I done wrong? It's just my doctor that prescribed me this medication. I have not done anything wrong.
Yeah.
And people, just as a joke, they don't think, you know, it's going to affect your mental health, but... Me hearing from my friends, you're druggy.
Oh, definitely affects you.
Yeah. I'm like, girl, stop saying that, please. Like, no. That's mean.
Sorry, I was laughing for the way that you said, like, druggy, you know? That was really funny.
Don't worry. We know AUP people.
No, but at least, like, for us, what made us change our mind, and I would say also pretty quickly, we had a family friend that introduced us to this psychologist. Not to like go to therapy, but just to like drink wine together, because this guy is really funny, right?
I mean, and drinking wine together is therapy, honestly.
I mean, yeah. and also has like this amazing taste on like desserts, so we will always like go out to dinner like all together. Really fun, right? And like, you know, like talking to him, we're just like, you know, it was so different, so weird from us.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like asking questions, not like, oh my god, like you're so weird, let me like ask you everything. Just like, you know, like who are the people that are coming in, you know? And just like basic kind of questions, you know? Uh-huh. Like, I don't know, like maybe your dad is like a teacher, I'm gonna ask your dad like, oh, like what do you do, you know? Like those kind of things. And like after talking to him, we realized, you know, like therapy is actually good. My sister started going to therapy, but I went to therapy one, so I'm not a good example, just because I cannot like commit to like anything.
Okay.
But I struggle.
Well, commitment issues.
Yeah, I have commitment issues like all over the place. No, but like I was actually thinking about going now, just because like I think, you know, just like talking to someone, like even now, just like talking to you, you know,
it helps a lot.
Yeah.
And I was actually thinking about it because, you know, when writing kind of my script-ish for the show, I was thinking maybe this is self-therapy for myself.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
I'm going to like empower myself.
Yeah.
And even talking with you about it, it's very... you know, it's making me feel, we're not alone. I mean,
No, 100%.
Like, you're the first person that really I'm talking about, about this subject too. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, okay, we're
yeah,
not alone.
Yeah, no, exactly.
And also, you mentioned, like, therapy, and you went once, commitment issues. And I had a friend who went to a therapist, and the therapist was not for her. And you really need to find your people.
100%,
you have to keep trying, because therapy is good for you. It's not, there's bad therapists out there, you know. Because just like there's bad professors, bad doctors, bad...
It doesn't mean that
everybody's bad. Shoemakers, okay? It doesn't mean everybody is bad. I don't know why I came up with shoemakers, but don't worry about it. But... Maybe there's someone that's not meant for you, so you have to keep trying, and you have to go to another therapist. And if it doesn't work, try another one and another one. It doesn't mean you're weird or you're not suited to therapy. It's really... So I think that despite the difficulties, we must continue to lead our lives with a confident heart and a courageous soul, whatever you're going through right now.
Yeah.
And I also want to say that I'm done with only being an echo and not a voice. Mm-hmm. I'm done with it because I aspire to be a woman who not only stands for herself, but stands for those who cannot stand on their own. And I will not be a spectator of my life, not a spectator of my rights. And that's why, you know, that's why I'm doing ICP. I want to dedicate my whole life to be a leader, to not just be an echo, but a voice.
Thank you so much for your talk. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure. I hope you guys liked it. And I'll see you soon, right?
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
laisse tomber les fumeurs à trop de marijuana. Je l'ai marijuana. Le rage, on l'aime davantage avant le déjeuner. En crème sur 150 jaman. En cloche, un stif à la bouche, oui, dans un fume pour banane. On les a les courses maternelles, les démanes. Dans des cages, il laisse tomber les fumeurs à trop de marijuana.
Quand la man allume ton spliff sur l'avenue du son caille. De la ville au cannabis, on en fume toutes les capitales. Parce qu'entre les doigts t'as un bidou. Mais que le boc faut pas renier ce temps qu'il a me cas dans le bloc. Fumer la scène c'est pour les agents. C'est comme sniffer la paco. Le sable blanc à fléau qu'ils n'ont jamais pu pisto. Toi l'Elysée, prends congé puis viens dans le ghetto. Voir ces jeunes épuisés. Que ton système transforme en toxico. Ils n'ont même pas su mener le combat face aux drogues de haut niveau. Qu'ils veulent déjà tester nos ganja man commando.
Ganja man allume ton spliff sur l'avenue du son caille. De la ville au cannabis on en fume toutes les capitales. La vague des ganja man est depuis international. Quoi plus naturel que la fleur.
Des gros joints
d'herbe. Je fais pas de détails quand je vous parle de Sensi. Tout le monde voit ce que je dis car tout le monde sait ce que c'est. Je suis censé me taire ou sans ça tous les verrous finir sans sutour. Plus tout si que tout c'est la vie du ghetto qui nous tue. Tu sais que l'argent attire les gens, la Sensi, les agents. Très souvent ils surveillent les rude boys qui se font de l'oseille.
Facilement.
Mauvais garçon dans la vie il faut être prudent. Donc à contraire je n'en m'en présente, tu logeras pour longtemps.
Mais les temps c'est de l'argent.
Certaines personnes pensent que l'argent pourrit les gens dans les ghettos. On oublie ce dicton. De vraies machines à pièces dans le nez, qu'on se pour millions de francs. Bouge tes fesses et brûle la Jessie à la CC, tu
la
dis
scène guide l'inspiration, regarde ce que mon son crache dans les salles. Je teste aucun poison, je fume le canard de toutes ses pétales. Allume ton spliff sur l'avenue du son caille. Je vais les pépettes dans le bénéfice de mon kiff et les cônes plein de taille. Pour rester créatif et que les mauvais esprits taillent. Quoi de plus naturel que la tropical flower. Fast tech dans le secteur, forcé que l'atmosphère se parfume. Du public au sélecteur, les spliffs en l'eau se consument. Les cadjons sont son parfum, même les femmes la consomment. Tire sur ton joint, c'était quand jamais que tu l'assumes, j'assiste personne.
Quand jamais allume ton spliff sur l'avenue du son caille. De la weed au cannabis, on en fume toutes les capitales. La vague des grandes jamais est depuis international. Quoi de plus naturel que la fleur tropicale. Allume ton spliff sur l'avenue du son caille. De la weed au cannabis, on en fume toutes les capitales. La vague des grandes jamais est depuis international. Quoi de plus naturel que la fleur tropicale.
Missing my head at them, Babylon you die. She's gone calling top pour les fumeurs de caille. My head at them. She's gone calling me say ganja man lighter. Me heard of them Babylon you die. She's gone calling top people pour les fumeurs de caille. Me heard of them Babylon you die.
You are listening to AUP Radio on WRP.